It's a great privilege for us to have Leif Hetland with us today. Leif is a covenant friend of ours, somebody that we're privileged to know. The Lord has knitted our hearts together, and there's a future in God somewhere down the road in the glory of God, and we're just thrilled about that. Leif is the founder and president of Global Mission Awareness, and has seen more than a million people come to know Jesus, especially in a lot of Muslim countries, and that's just beautiful. And God has gifted Leif with an ability to love people and to demonstrate wisdom and to preach the gospel in very creative ways. And it's just a joy and an honor to have Leif. I said in the first service a few years back, we went to Leif's 50th birthday party, and Leif had asked some friends from around the world just to send greetings. And it was remarkable to me to hear the key leaders in the church, people that we would respect, Randy Clark, Bill Johnson, Heidi Baker kind of people, all just saying, "Hey, Leif, our friend, happy birthday." But the thing that touched me the most was some of the Muslim mullahs and some of the key Muslim leaders around the globe. The one gentleman is on a TV program that speaks to 30 million Muslims a day. And he came on and just said to Leif Hetland, I actually think he called you Papa Leif, to Papa Leif Hetland, "My friend." And he said he is the ambassador of love. And I also thought, he said, "You are welcome in my country anytime." I just thought it was interesting that he thought it was his country, not the president's country, but it's probably more accurate anyway. "You are welcome in my country anytime, Leif Hetland, the ambassador of love." And I realized when people who are supposed to be your enemies or people think are on the other end of the spectrum are calling you the ambassador of love, you're doing something right. Because that's what Jesus said you'll measure the church by. Not by how whiz-bang your slides are, not by how slick your greeters are, although those are important, but how much you love. That's going to show the kingdom. So it's just an honor to have you, Leif. I'm going to invite you up, and we're going to pray for Leif. Leif and his wife, Jennifer. Jennifer couldn't be here. She sends love, by the way. She's ministering in Arizona. And so that's, but she said she'd love to be here with us. And Leif is, Layla and Catherine are with us. Great to have you guys. And so that's that. Why don't you reach out your hands in sign of blessing to Leif, and let's just celebrate with the Lord that he's come. Father, we honor you. And Father, we agree in Jesus' name that we would love to hear whatever is on your heart. So empower Leif, Lord, to communicate that. Take us all, Lord, a few steps deeper, a few steps further, and draw us a little closer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Just wave to me and smile. Let me. Wow. And do we have anybody have birthday? Birthday today? Birthday this week? Okay, come and receive. Yes, let's give her a good hand. Oh. Was she a little shy? That book is Overcoming Shyness, I think. And here's book Healing the Orphan Spirit. Is there somebody over here that knows somebody have an orphan spirit? No, I'm just joking. Over here, somebody wants it? One, two, okay, yes, sir. Give it to this gentleman. That's wonderful. We have a couple of books out there, and first of all, I just wanted to say it is great to be with family. And this is family to me, and I think it's a big answer to my prayer. So I just wanted to say that public. My closest Jonathan, like Jonathan was to David, my covenant friend, he passed away a little over 2 years ago, and pretty much everything we did around the world, we did together. And after 2 years of fighting with cancer, he went to heaven. And there was a big gap that was in my life. And we prayed and prayed because I felt that there was that empty spot. And during that time period also is when I met Greg and Michelle. And over the period of time, I just realized and God has brought another covenant friend. And there's something about covenant friendship and relationship. And we are meeting together almost like accountability partners, but we're getting together, but we're saying it is not so much sin management, but glory management. We just coming together, dreaming together. We just talked about it earlier also. Let's just dream about some other things that Papa God is doing in the world, and just taking a day together and just sitting there and just dream with God, because you need other people in your life. So I'm very much grateful for this gift, for this body, just the way that you've been with us. Even in December, I don't think I've been here since, that you guys just responded, sown a seed. And I don't know if you knew the result, but there was two ISIS suicide bombers. They came into a church, Methodist church, blew themselves up. They killed 12 people, 64 were severely wounded. It was a horrific attack, but both ISIS and Taliban came together in this whole region and area, and pretty much was just going to eliminate Christians. And we just prayed in the Spirit, and as we prayed in the Spirit, the Lord just started to give some download of some people that we are coming together with an assignment. And within 2 weeks, we had a top Muslim leadership coming in unity together, showed up in this Methodist church, and they brought gifts, including from you. So here you have the Muslim leader of the nation that comes with a gift from us to say, we're going to give this to the Christians, and we're going to help to rebuild their life, and we're going to stand together. That stopped some of the persecution that was going on. I'm not saying it is over, but something took place in the environment that day, and just to see the joy, because that's what we do, is we represent how good Papa God is, and we want everybody to know how loved they are. That's pretty much what my life is all about. I just want everybody to know how good He is and how loved they are. I wanted just to show a little video and one more small little thing, and then we're about to share the message for this morning.
To live life in the kingdom of God is the ultimate journey. But no matter how much you've seen, you know deep down there is more. There is a longing in every heart. From the greatest leader to the most humble follower, each one knows they're made for more than this. What if I told you there is a place where who you are and your identity is more valuable than anything you could do? And in that place, your relationships with people and your intimacy with God are the highest priority. What if there was a people who chose to honor the path in a way that made every generation relevant? The young and the old are both valuable to the future. And what if you were running alongside others who cheered you on in God's calling and destiny? Because when you win, we all win. This place does exist. It's here and now. Papa, what does the kingdom look like?
I don't know, child. But what I do know is that it will only be entrusted to a family.
Join your journey with ours. a family of families, changing the world together.
Amen. If you as a family can remember me in prayer tomorrow, for about 7 years I've had a dream of actually raising up sons and daughters that are full of love, full of power, and full of wisdom. What does that look like? I call them the sons and daughters of glory, so that when people are looking at us, they see who our papa is. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. To have sons and daughters that reflect who he is. And sometimes that is reflected just by love. Other times it is power and then wisdom. But when those three becomes one, there's that convergence taking place. Glory is being released. And creation is moaning and groaning for the very manifestations of those sons and daughters of glory. And I'm saying that because we're filming the Power series tomorrow, and as well as Wednesday and Thursday. So we will finish. We have already finished Upgrade in Love. So I just even want to encourage, we have it available, and since you are family, we have a 50% discount. And it is a 12-week journey that it is receiving, say receiving. Then becoming, say becoming. Then releasing, say releasing. So learning how to receive love, become love, and then actually release what you become. You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And my heart is, and love is not something you do. Love is something that you are. And that's what you see with God very clearly. He says that God is love, 1 John 4:16. But then the next verse, he says, as I am, so are you. So you start to see this over and over again. So my heart and this journey, we take you on a 12-week journey, and it's 20 minutes video, practical application of what to do, but it starts just by receiving his love and getting comfortable with love. Then in the next moment, the process of becoming it, and then we're going to learning how to live it out loud, how to live love out loud. And if something happens in the marriages, we already have had about 350 people that we have tested it with, and it is amazing stories. Then when people are full of love, then we're going to give them the fullness of power and then wisdom. And can you then see what happens to the ordinary people when we are tapping into this? So I just wanted to for you to pray for me, because I need a lot of wisdom to do this power thing and to be able to, I want the very presence of the Holy Spirit to be in such a way that when the people are watching and going through this journey, that there's such an impartation in it. So can you remember me in prayer? And if you want to go through the 12-week love journey, Upgrade in Love, we have something available out there at the table, and Kaylee and some of them will be there to assist you. I am so excited about something that God is doing. I was sharing in the first service that Jesus came to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. And it was a while back that that verse just hit me. It hit me one time we were on a trip in England, and somehow I had 3 days of migraine headaches. Some of you know I've had a broken neck and broken back, but I just couldn't operate and function. And we had services all over England and Wales, and we did a little trip around, and I just couldn't operate. But I realized that my migraine tablets is in my underneath my sink in Peachtree City, and I'm heading to London. And there was no doctor around that would give me or just prescribe the migraine pills that I needed. So I was like, I know Jesus could heal me, and people prayed for that. But then that scripture verse came. Jesus came to save that which was lost. In the next moment, I came to my room, and when I came to my room, there they have left the sink in Peachtree City, and it was right there waiting for me. So I thought, and then later on, I lost my phone, so I have some issue. I lost my phone. Paul Mannering, who's a friend, borrowed my cell phone and left it on the bus, and the bus went on to another city, and we came to the meeting, and remember, oh, I'm so sorry, Leif, I left your phone on the bus seat. And I'm like, but Jesus came to save that which was lost. So if that phone was lost, and it's a true story, we never had a suitcases even around us. But when I open my suitcase, when I get to my room, on the top inside my suitcase is my phone there just waiting for me. I had somebody else then that had lost their wedding band. I just listened to it, and at that moment just come home, and on the sink there was the wedding band. And it had been lost for years. And so these things started to happen. And then, so this has kind of been stirring, and it was a season I was just with just always thinking Jesus came to save that which was lost. And in Cambodia, I went there in Cambodia in the end of last year. There was something that was taking place because my heart was so broken over even of a whole nation, to redempt the gift of a nation and to see what the enemy has done in Cambodia. So I knew that there was a special gift that God had for the nation of Cambodia that we wanted to restore because Jesus came to save that which was lost. So he had pretty much destroyed a whole nation, killed over 3 million people because of the killing fields. So I wanted, first of all, to meet with the victims. And I went to the Genocide Museum, went to the killing fields, and then eventually we did this meeting, this reconciliation meeting. But I got to meet with a lot of the Khmer Rouge, the ones that was the soldiers that did the killing. And I struggled to have the same love for them as I did the victims. But God did something in that, that eventually became a baptism of love experience that swept across that room. Reconciliation took place, and then healings started to happen. One lady that was there, she was blind, and God just opened up her eyesight. Somebody else was born deaf and mute, just started to speak. And so these miracles started to happen because when people get comfortable with love, they get comfortable with God because God is love. And the area where we're not comfortable with love, where there's love deficiency, we also have God deficiency. And we often try to fill it with the wrong stuff. So anyway, but it did something with me because as we had all these incredible testimonies that we stood up and started to interview people, we came to this one lady. And this one lady, she stood and I thought, we're hearing these stories about blind eye seeing and cancer disappearing. But this lady says, I don't know how to read and write. And they translated, I don't know how to read and write. And tears in her eyes, and I found out the story because with the Khmer Rouge, that if you are ignorant, if you're educated, we kill you. So what the parents decided to do was make sure to keep the kids ignorant. And if we keep them ignorant, there was a way that they could save their life. But I was just so broken over when she stood, when something hit me. And then I remember that verse, Jesus came to save that which is lost, Luke 19:10. So as she came up and shared a story about I've never learned how to read and write. She didn't know the alphabet. And in the Khmer language, it's like 140 letters, one of the most difficult languages in the world. So I brought a group of other people. I said, anyone else here, you never learn how to read and write? And all over the room, people waved. And I brought a group of older ladies. They came up on the stage, and we started to minister. And it was like, well, Jesus came to save that which was lost, and this was something the enemy took. So we said, let's open up the Bible. And when we open up the Bible, and she looks, and then she starts to read. And when she starts to read, and tears flowing down, and she won't stop reading. She's just reading and reading. But then it was just to release it over the room. And 84 other people started to read and write, supernaturally speaking. Because Jesus came to save that which was lost. And I'm saying that there was something stirring in me in regard to that that's connected also with the message today. I want us to open up. I have 21 minutes and 40 seconds. I have a lot of time. Let's open up to 2 Samuel 4:4. This story has just captured me in this season. It's connected to, I believe, just the covenant relationship also that Jonathan had with David. I was even thinking about a David here as a shepherd boy, how he eventually became a king that set up the stage for what we're about to see. Because within each one of us, within any shepherd boy, there's actually the potential of royalty. And there's royalty that God has also wanted to be released in so many of us. But Jonathan, son of Saul, it's interesting to say, son of Saul, had a son who was lame. Say he was lame. In both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came to Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled. But as she hurried to leave, he fell. Say he fell. And he became disabled. And his name was Mephibosheth. Say Mephibosheth. Do you like that name? Mephibosheth. I mean, the name Mephibosheth means actually somebody that brings shame. So when you're seeing it, let's continue here in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we're going to read a few more of these verses. David now, so David has become king, and he's looking at the kingdom, and he starts to be so overwhelmed by the blessings and everything that he has, but there's something missing in his life. Well, I wish I had my friend Jonathan to share all of this with. A little bit what I thought about my friend Todd Bevan. I know he is in heaven watching what's going on in this meeting this morning. He's among those large cloud of witnesses. But it's like David is thinking about, I am so blessed. But one of the reasons I'm so blessed on my journey from being a shepherd boy to become a king, there are some of these people in my life that made me better than I am. And one of those were Jonathan. If it was not for Jonathan, I wouldn't even be here. And I miss Jonathan. So is there anyone still left that is, even if they are related, I just want to bless them? And we're going about to see that. So David asked, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul? And if you remember, Saul was the first king. Saul was a man after man's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. Saul was actually this, the first king. And when now Saul, to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake. Say for Jonathan's sake. Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? At your service, he replied. The king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Ziba answered the king, oh, there is still a son. I want you to say son. There's still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, oh, he is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Say Lodabar. Lodabar actually means the barren place. Just to keep that in mind. So King David had him brought from Lodabar. So he's brought from the barren place. He's brought. It would be similar when my wife is in Arizona, the desert. It is where everything pretty much is dead. But he brought from there to the house of Machir, son of Amelia. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I want you to see this. I will restore to you all the land. Say all the land. Amen. That belonged to your grandfather Saul. And you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is it with your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned to Ziba, Saul's steward, and he said to him, I have given you the master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table. And here's what I want you to capture. Like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. And all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. Can you say amen? I just wanted to color that in a few moments, the picture. If you know the story of Mephibosheth actually was born into royalty. The starting point in his life, he was born into a palace where actually his granddad was king and his father was about to become king. The father became best friend of David and we know the whole story. But he was born into royalty. Then what happened because of granddaddy got killed. Jonathan got killed. And then eventually now they're going to kill everyone that is related. So with a nurse, she takes the boy and she is heading to Lodabar. Mainly, I'm going to go to a place where no king is going to be able to find him to save his life. Because whoever is going to be the next king is going to make sure there's not going to be any other heir to the throne that can come in competition. So she runs with a boy. He is 5 years old. That's what we started 2 Samuel 4:4. She fell, and when she fell, he became crippled. He became paralyzed. She picks up the paralyzed boy, takes him to a barren place. So here you are in Lodabar. It would be in the wrong part of the country where you want to live. It is an awful place. It is wilderness. Nothing grows there. Probably a place was full of crime. All I'm saying, it is a dangerous, dark place. And here he is, crippled, beggar. He came from royalty. Use another picture for each one of us. Even before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, I knew you and I predestined you in love. So there was something about you. You actually started out in glory. You were actually with him in glory. And what sin made you fall short of glory. So what is happening? Because of the fall, something has changed with him. And then eventually the good news comes in. The good news is that as David is looking for the sake, because of what Jonathan has done, I just want to show favor. So he asks Ziba, and I believe Ziba is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He said, hey, can you go out and see? Is there anyone still related? Because I want to show him kindness. Pretty much what he is about to do, and this gospel is more than just the gospel of salvation. What the king is about to do, he's actually want to restore everything that he had before the fall. Every single thing that he had before the fall, before he became crippled, everything that his granddaddy had and his dad had, I want to restore all of that. The Bible says in the book of Acts that Jesus is going to be seated in heaven until the restoration of all things. Jesus came to save that which was lost, not just those. So sometimes we have a gospel what we are saved from, but not what we are saved to. You're maybe no longer in Lodabar and got out of Lodabar, but have you got Lodabar out of you? And so what we see in this story, that I just love this story because I think it is connected to a bigger picture, but it's a couple of things that just captured. I think the first time I preached it was in 1999. And one of the ladies that got filled with the Spirit, baptized in love, is Jack Taylor's wife, Frida, and she has been here. So Frida had an encounter in 99, but since then, I've been on a journey with this story. But it was a couple of things that capture. One of them was the very statement, where is this son? It's not where is this divorcee, or where is that guy that was bankrupt, or where is that cripple, or where is that? Where is this son? Another thing that became very clear for me is actually that what is used as a beautiful picture in verse 12 that just hit me, that when you're coming to the king's table, he was eating at the king's table as a son of a king. So on a daily basis, if you start to see the picture, the king restored everything. So here is the picture. He sends the limousines, and you can see the limousines are showing up in Lodabar, where a beggar is, and then you can start to see, as all the royalty are coming in, is there anybody that knows anybody named Mephibosheth? And eventually somebody said, well, there is that cripple, there is that beggar, there is that the guy down there. I mean, what does the king want with him? And the guy has been living in fear for intimacy, or living in intimacy with his king that he didn't know. But he is royalty, has always been royalty. He started out royalty, and what sin had done is made him falling short of glory. What the king wanted was to restore the glory back. But it was not just to get him out of Lodabar. It was to restore back again every single thing that had been taken from him. And there's even something more. There's even a greater upgrade in the story. So for me, this thing makes me very happy. This kind of a thinking can lead to dancing, so be careful. And you can become a joyful Christian. And maybe the joy of the Lord will be your strength. But see the scenes. So here the limousines are showing up there in Lodabar. And finally, here he is being picked up, taken into the limousine. And you can just see them as they're heading and leaving Lodabar and heading towards the palace. And closer they come to the palace. And when he stands before, and here's that dead dog mentality, that I'm just so saddened that there's still people that have not got their identity back. They maybe come out of Lodabar and be saved, but they still feel when you're getting in the presence of a king, they are not seeing themselves the way the king sees them. There's one thing that you believe in him. There's another thing when he believes in you. The king constantly saw a son of a king, and he invited him to sit at the table as one of the sons of the king. There was no difference between Solomon and Absalom and all the other people. When they got together, here Mephibosheth is sitting at the family table with royalty. And this is the place that God has for each one of us. But some of us, we are settling for something less than the full gospel. And you should not live from measure when you can live from fullness. Not living towards inheritance, but from inheritance. The king paid for everything. So what a king is doing when he brings them there is, who am I, like a dead dog? But that's not the way king saw him. The king is like, wow, you are a son of a king. And then he said, now it is time to restore every single thing that you had before the fall. What your granddaddy had, what your father had. We're buying everything back. And this is exciting. This is good news to see everything that is available for us that Jesus purchased, that is available for us called fullness, the full inheritance, what was paid for by the king. But there is even more to this story. It's beautiful, actually, when you have a gospel, and this is part of the things I want to tap into today, is that if there is things that has been taken away in your life, there's still things, and somebody's going to pray for me because it's 20 years ago since I broke my back and I've had all this surgery, and I had... Some of the ministry team said, we're going to pray for you today. And I was thinking, yeah, it's time. Because all of that was paid for by the king. Yeah. It came as a result of the fall. Yeah. And I don't know what else with other areas in your life where that which was lost in your life. Where's that dream that needs to be resurrected? Because I saw that even before the service, there was all these caskets. And I was wondering in my spirit, what is in those caskets? He said, there are the dreams of some of my people. They buried their dreams and thought that it's never going to happen. But after the sunset, there's going to be a sunrise and there's going to be a resurrection of dreams. Because Jesus came to save that which was lost. So the king came in to restore all of that he had before the fall came in. And now, the last picture, if you can imagine, as he is finally coming into the king's table, and it is a glorious table. And here you can hear that clunk, clunk, clunk. Solomon is coming in out of the library, probably having a couple of thick books. Absalom is coming in, and you see one after the other. All of them, they have their identity, and they know who they are. And then you have this person named Mephibosheth. He comes to the table where the tablecloth is there. But when you're sitting at the family table, I want you to know one simple thing. That table covers over all of the area that was affected by the fall. And the only thing you're seeing when you are seated at the king's table is a son and a daughter of glory. And every single day, we get to dine and be in the atmosphere, being in an environment of a king, face-to-face encounter with a king, hearing his voice, feeling his love. Something happens to us. The one we are with is the one we're becoming like. The one we are beholding is the one that we are becoming. And I'm just, we're sharing in the, I actually have more time than I thought I had. I'm so excited. I was just sharing 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I was sitting in my car. We were, that's 10 years ago in a few days. But right at this moment, today, 10 years ago, I was in the middle of open heaven and revival. It started by an encounter of the king, being in the presence of the king. And when I was in the presence of the king, it just filled up my car. The presence of the king just filled my car. The aroma of the king was in the car. So I was sitting there, and then there was a phone call from a guy named Christopher Olson. And Christopher is on the phone, and as I talk to him, suddenly I hear, kroop. I was like, Christopher, where are you? And I thought, this is a little rude. It was like, I tried to call him back, nothing. So I continued to be in this kind of environment, and there was a few, actually one from the Middle East, similar situation, was just over the phone, the presence showed up. And I found out that Christopher was on the floor. He was heading to staff meeting, but while I was on the phone, the presence hit him. And he just ended up on the floor. And he was undone by the king. Next moment, when he comes up on the floor, he's thinking, I need to go to staff meeting. He walked by Laura. Boom, she's on the floor. They're coming into the staff meeting. The glory fills the staff meeting. And the presence fills in all of them for the next 2 hours. Forget about all the agenda. There's one agenda. There's a king here. And they're just hosting the presence of the king. The environment just started to change. By the time I got up there, there was a line to get into church. I never forgot it. Even the front was just filled up with children. And I ended up on the floor. Everybody was on the floor. The worship team, we had forget about all the programs. The king was in the house. I remember one person with metal. The metal just disappeared in the presence. He had screws, and he's like, what is happening here? I was sharing the first service. Another one, he came up. It was just this environment of the king. People that had been in the presence of the king. But he was just holding up the phone. And he said, my dad, he is in Arkansas, in Little Rock, Arkansas, and he has Alzheimer's. And just holding up the phone, the presence of God just hit his father over the phone. And he got totally healed from Alzheimer. Had somebody else just bipolar disease, just being healed in the service. Somebody else, addictions was just gone in that environment. It was just an environment. And you just learned the whole, morning went to night, night went to morning. The children would want to leave this place. There was all these creative miracles. But what I was sharing the first service, that was painful for me. The fire was there. And God did something. And I've been around it a few times. And the reason I'm sharing that, it just started again in different places lately, where the glory of God is just, whoa. I saw it in Poland last week. Even among a whole group of Catholics, it's just, whoa. Heaven just came down. And we came in and we tried to have this unity meeting. Instead, the presence of the king showed up and everybody was out. And for the next couple of hours, yeah, and it was just unity. And first it was waves of love and then joy. Everybody was just laughing. And they were so serious, but now they're just laughing and having encounter with a king. And something changed in the atmosphere. One of the stories, Steve, who played guitar, he was out in the service because the king was in the place. And when Steve came up, he looked like a skeleton. He just walked out. I tried to interview him, but he left. And I thought, that's pretty rude. But he just, boom. And then later on the next day, when I was able to interview Steve, I said, Steve, what happened last night? He said, well, when we were out there in the glory, what nobody knows, I've gone in for counseling for years and years because, as you know, we have two boys and been married for all these years. But what people don't know, when I was in high school, my high school girlfriend became pregnant. And I pretty much forced her into taking an abortion. This is before I was saved. But I knew I should have had a girl, and I never had a girl. And all these years, some 20-some years later, his heart is broken. And he's tried every way to heal that and ask forgiveness. But there was something in him that he's never got total freedom. But he said in the service, when the glory hit and the worship team was on the floor in the glory, he said, in a moment, my spirit started to lift. And I went through the ceiling and I ended up in this room, big, kind of like a throne room. And then there was this big wooden door. And Jesus opened up that door and he says, come, Steve, come with me. And we walked in. He said, I want to introduce you to... And here this 24-year-old beautiful, beautiful lady, she said, that's your daughter. And in that next moment, Steve danced with the first, he asked forgiveness. And she said, oh, I forgive you, Dad, and let's dance together. So he was dancing with his girl. And something happened. And you can maybe wondering the fruits of this story. Actually, we had about 4 or 5 in the last 2 weeks of different, including it just, whoa, I just remember several of the ones just in services lately. It's been taken up to heaven, having encounters. The faces are glowing. It's the children. It's just happening right now. So, but Steve was so transformed and so healed when the spirit came back. He's been totally free. That's 10 years ago. And he's still free today. And we started to see the spirit moving into marriages, into homes, and all of these things that has been lost that didn't seem to be happening. The fire just started to fall. But what I realized at the time, people asked me, why didn't it continue? I say, we had fire, but we didn't have fireplaces. And something was broken my heart. We went from place to place. One moment, hold the phone over 700 people in Wisconsin, over the phone. And the power of God just hit. 700 people went out. It was just an incredible time and a season. And that same season is now, but what I feel now is excited, including here at Northland, is that what I'm seeing at this family, we have family here now. We have fireplaces. And I remember he said, I want my fire to be sent, but I want fireplaces that can sustain it. So that people will be burning brightly without burning out. Because they're burning oil of intimacy with their lover. That's why I feel that, yes, there's so many things that the king will do and restoring. But the biggest thing here, every single day, Mephibosheth could have Michelin chefs to make the best food for him. And he could have all these opportunities to enjoy all the blessings and everything that the king purchased and did for him. But it was something that was more precious than anything. And that was just to be together with the king. Over and over, he ate with a king. He dined with a king. He just sat together to be with a king. And I really do believe that there's something in this season for us that when that becomes the main thing for us, it's not all the stuff that he's going to do for us, but when we value him for who he is, it's almost like whoever gets the picture of that gets the picture of everything. One story, and I will land this. Years ago, there was this young man that was drafted to going into Vietnam. It was very, very hard for the father. He was a very, very wealthy businessman. And him and the son, that's the only son he had, they traveled all over the world collecting fine paintings. And they had some of the Van Gogh, and they had Monet. They had all of the best thing that money can buy in the area of art. Above the fireplace at their mansion in Texas, there's a $1 million painting above the fireplace. But this day when the son left and he went to Vietnam, the father was grieved and the father was praying every single day. And one day, as the Vietnam Cong came in and they had surrendered around the unit where this young man was serving, he actually stepped in and was willing to give his life. And he told everybody, "You guys run." And he stood in the gap, gave his life, was actually captured, tortured, and eventually killed. So when the news came home to the father that your son died, he turned off all the lights and he covered over all the paintings and everything else. He couldn't even enjoy it because all the enjoyment has been to have that together with his son. One day, this young African-American soldier come and knocked on the door and he opened up. The father was very, very sad and he said, I know I haven't very little to give you, but I served with your son and we were there together. I was there the day that he died, but he gave his life so that I can live, and I will forever, ever be grateful for the bravery and the courage of your son. So he said, all I have to give you, I know you like art, but I drew a picture of your son the last day that I saw him. He's sitting underneath this tree and I have this chalk drawing and I just wanted to give that to you just as a memory. This is the last picture I have of your son. And when the father got that chalk drawing, it's just very plain, done just by a pencil or a chalk. He just put it into his chest and he started to weep. He went actually into the fireplace, took down the $1 million painting and placed the picture of the son. And every single day he just sat and he looked at that picture of his son and it was the greatest masterpiece of art that he had ever seen. Eventually he died and the funeral was held. And the family lawyer sent out the news that there's going to be an auction of all the family estate, including all the masterpieces of arts. So friends and distant relatives and a lot of the wealthy people around the country, and they even came from Europe and Asia and other places because they were going to get some of the stuff that has been accumulated, some of the masterpieces. So the family lawyer hit the hammer and gathered the people and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to start. But before the auction really starts, we have one item. This is a chalk drawing of this young man who served in Vietnam. The artist is just a young private who served, and he did this chalk drawing. So we're going to start by bidding off this first item before we go on." And everybody was looking, and one person said, "Yeah, hurry on, because we want to get on to the real thing. That's not even a painting. That's not even a bit." And people started to get, and they said, "Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're starting with this item." And it was this sweet, actually Mexican lady from the back. She just said, "Excuse me, but all I have is $1. Would it be okay? That's what I'm willing to give, but that's all I have is $1. But I don't care about all the other fancy stuff. If I could just, I miss the father and I miss the son. Oh, if I could just get that picture of the son." And somebody said, "Give it to her. Who cares?" And eventually, 1, 2, 3, sold to this lady for $1. And then he says, "Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the auction is over." And people were in shock. It's like, well, what's going on here? "The auction is over because according to the will of the father, whoever gets the picture of the son gets everything." Whoever gets the picture of the son gets everything. Whoever gets the picture of the son gets everything. Seek first his kingdom and his, it is not my righteousness, but his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There is a move of God's Spirit taking place. There's a special grace in this season. And I do believe even for us as a family, I want us to stand to our feet, and I want us to take a few moments for the Holy Spirit to start to minister to you. There's healing in His presence. But I'm sensing specifically that Jesus came to save that which was lost. What is that in your life? What are some of those areas when the king came there actually to restore back everything that it came as a result of the fall? And he restored it all back. And then on the top of it, on a daily basis, for you to go into a throne room, to be able to be there as a son of a king, with a table covers over all of your areas. And all you can see, that's a son and that's a daughter of a king. Father, I just invite your Holy Spirit to come. More. Just fill this place, Holy Spirit. Yeah. There's healing in His presence. Yeah. Just come, Holy Spirit. Jesus came to save that which was lost. More. Thank God, Papa. I'm just sensing that we're just going to surrender to His presence for a few moments. But there's a special grace over our family. Wow. Entering into that resting place. He is working. And we are resting. But Jesus came to save that which was lost.